1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
That was yesterday here at Radio Row, and it made a little bit of a stir. I retweeted the video with, "That's a shame."
Yes.
Yeah. I got my water. That's all that mattered
to me.
I was very thirsty. We had been working hard, and I needed some water. You fell. There was nothing I could do. I'm plugged into, oh, there's Chris Sims working on a Friday, and he falls off the stage as he works on a Friday.
Yes.
It's a rare Friday for Chris Sims. Are you okay? 5 straight days?
Hey, for the Super Bowl, I'll do it. All right? For being here with you, I'll do it.
Did you feel anything when it was time to get out of bed this morning? Because you know how that goes.
Right.
Wait till the morning.
Right.
You're not going to be able to get out of bed. How'd you feel?
I felt good. I was good to go.
You rolled into it.
I rolled into it.
Fortunately, nobody was down there.
Seriously.
Because I saw in the video.
First off, people don't know. It broke. That's where the first thing I'd like people to know.
Fortunately, you didn't land on anyone who was down there.
Right.
There were people in the splash zone, the Chris Sims splash zone, and this big leg goes flying through the air. So it could have been a lot worse, not just for you, but for anybody who happened to take an Air Jordan or a LeBron to the face.
No doubt. Yes, I'm wearing my Zions right now, my Air Zion Williamson. But
there's the leg.
I would like people to know that the back little like metal thing there that you see, it broke this section. I had my foot resting on it, and there's wires here, so I rested my foot. And then the thing, I put a little too much weight, and it went. And then I thought I was going to be okay. That's what's funny is I remember it collapsing. I was like, I'll be okay. But then it totally collapsed, and I'm not a good enough athlete anymore, Mike.
Yeah, and Miles, the tech manager, made his way over to make the save and to check on him. And, of course, they repaired this, so there have been no further mishaps today. But the day is young. There can be more, and we would love to have a part two of Chris falls off the stage and emerges unscathed.
Thank you, Fred.
Okay, so it's the last day of Super Bowl week. We're here in Phoenix. We're live on Peacock, SiriusXM 85, Sky Sports NFL. We're usually live on Friday. We're live all week on Sky. And they have added a disclaimer. We've tweeted out the image. Did you see this?
No.
Strong language.
Oh, I've heard.
May
I've
occur
heard.
On this program. And it's the fancy British program. It's not good enough, P-R-O-G-R-A-M. They add the M-E at the end.
Oh, wow.
Because that's fancy.
Right.
And I like it. I'm not being snarky
language,
and critical.
So maybe they
They're
got
allowed
it right,
to add any letters they want. You can add a U after an O if you want to. You can say schedule if you want to. Whatever you do, it's fine with us. But they do have the coarse language warning now that we're live.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's you got to be careful.
That doesn't mean you should partake.
I won't do anything crazy, at least not here, like, deliberately. I can't guarantee it, but that's why we got the warning there. They know better now. They know. Ever since we went to digital, we get a little more loose-lipped
yes,
at times.
Yes, we have. We have. Well, and we're like a two-year-old testing the boundaries, right?
We are a little.
You see what you can get away with.
Yeah.
So you drop an S-bomb. Nobody says anything. What do? You drop another one.
Right.
You drop an F-bomb from time to time. Nobody says anything. So either they're not watching, which is entirely possible, or it's too late now. The horse is out of the barn,
right,
or the barn is out of the horse. Whichever way that goes, that's where it is. Okay. So we've got, by the way, coming up, a great conversation.
Great
with Sean
day.
Payton.
Yeah.
Great conversation with Aiden Hutchinson.
Right.
Great conversation with George Kittle.
Right.
Great conversation with Michael Parsons. And great conversation with Brian Williams. And we appreciate very much
that they come the and they don't cancel on us.
To show up, to cancel on a timely basis if they can't make it, to not be petty at all and get in a position where personal biases get in the way of what may be in the client's best interest. Because I would say that for any player in the NFL, and this is nothing against any other show that's out there,
right.
Because there are great shows out there, great networks, great hosts, but you and I have developed a chemistry between us that translates to when we bring a third person on, we have a fun conversation, a real conversation, and the guest is comfortable saying something that doesn't hurt the guest.
Right.
Because I think what happens is people get caught up in cliches because they're afraid they're going to say something that hurts them. They say something meaningful that doesn't hurt them because we're not trying to set them up to say something that's against their interests. We're trying to show empathy, compassion, humanity, and get away from the robots we see in uniform. And it's hard not to look at these guys as cyborgs out on the field with all the gear. And when you see them walk by before a game, it's intimidating. Here, they look like us. They're dressed like us. Some better than others.
Definitely.
Some better than us. Most better than us. But it gives them a chance to have a real conversation. And we appreciate that. And we appreciate the folks that, that make their clients available, the players who show up, and the folks who, you know, don't cancel, like, as the interview is supposed to begin.
2 minutes before a start, right. Yeah. That's some BS, right. Kind of a high-level quarterback that did that to us in their camp, and we won't go
that's
into
okay.
the names.
That's
right.
Okay.
We won't go into names.
I'm the one that led you down that path.
We don't care. We had fun. We're good. And we're having a blast right now. And then, I mean, we got plenty of stuff to talk about anyways. And we had great interviews, so who gives a damn? Let's go on and let's be happy.
All right, so awards handed out last night, the NFL honors. Now, PFT handed out its awards weeks ago when people actually cared. That's one of the beefs I have. Even though we're voters, the one criticism I have is by the time the awards come out, nobody really cares anymore.
Right.
At least it's not Saturday night when we're really locked into the Super Bowl. But the Thursday night thing, you know, it's kind of like it's kind of stale by now.
Yeah.
And I watched some of the show. The show was pretty good. Kelly Clarkson, great job hosting. Did you see Kirk O'Chains out there trying to sing?
I did not. I've heard about it, but I have not.
It wasn't as bad as I thought. Like somebody said to me.
I saw Kittle singing.
Somebody texted that Cousins was horrible singing, so I had no expectations. He really wasn't that bad.
All right. Well, I mean, I wouldn't expect anything. I mean, isn't that what we would want?
When Kelly Clarkson is the one that follows with the second verse of the song, it's always going to seem not quite as good.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
But as expected, Patrick Mahomes wins his second MVP award. He last won it in 2018, and he's now hoping to be the first MVP winner in the regular season to win a Super Bowl since Kurt Warner in 1999. And there's a graphic of all the awards winners. Justin Jefferson, who was the Offensive Player of the Year, also finished fifth in the MVP voting. This is the first year that all the voters voted for five, not just one. If it was one, the only names you would have heard was Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Josh Allen. Those were the three who got first place votes. But there were 16 names in all.
Right.
Jefferson was the highest non-quarterback on the list.
Yeah.
So a nice little distinction for him.
Definitely is. I mean, we know how special he is, certainly. He deserved to be in that MVP conversation. I mean, again, most valuable player. Man, the Vikings aren't where they were without Justin Jefferson and the magic he created. You know, I wasn't sure about the most out of that group right there. I think it went pretty much chalk for what I thought. The one I wasn't sure about was Offensive Rookie of the Year. That was one where I thought, well, I don't know. Brock Purdy, the way he played, that's who I voted for, Mike. You know, again, I know it wasn't a full season, but you know, we discuss this a lot. It's the quarterback position. He took over a team that's good, yes, but he was a third-string quarterback, a rookie at that. And then to play the way he did and to lead his team to victories the way they did, or he did, I should say. Yeah, I thought Brock Purdy might have had a chance to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. That was the one I was like, ooh, I wonder who will win that one. I kind of felt like I knew all the other ones.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we had a strong sense of where it was all heading. Comeback Player of the Year with Geno Smith.
Yeah. It's a weird one.
Look,
I get it.
They are going to eventually have, I believe, a separate category for Most Improved Player and Comeback Player because right now it's all in one bucket. And there's no definition. We voted this year. There was no pamphlet as to what you can and can't do. The only limitation was, and we talked about this with Brian Robinson, you'll hear it later in the program, I tried to put him on my ballot. You got three names that you can put on for Comeback Player of the Year because he was shot in August. He was shot. Well, rookies aren't eligible for Comeback Player of the Year because they haven't played in the NFL yet.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on. It makes no sense because comeback is comeback and there's otherwise no instruction. What are you coming back from? And, you know, we've seen this before. Matthew Stafford, when he was comeback player of the year in 2011, it was his third season. What's he coming back from?
Yeah.
He just had his first good year. He had a breakout year. He was most improved player.
Yeah, I got you.
Geno Smith, most improved player. That's why I think Christian McCaffrey should have been the comeback player. He came back from a couple of years with significant injuries, and he went to San Francisco, and he was awesome from the get-go.
Yeah, he was.
And you could also make the argument, who else out there that had a torn ACL last year that came back this
year? Saquon
is up there. Saquon Barkley is one who could have been a comeback player. So I think they do need to have another category. Comeback player, most improved player.
Yeah.
But Geno Smith, comeback player this year.
He's got no problem with it.
He's not coming back to anything.
Well,
he's coming back from the dead.
I think that's, he's coming back from the dead a little bit. But I understand there. You're right. There's some distinction there that I think deserves a little conversation and maybe iron that out a little bit. But at the end of the day, for the way it is right now, I am happy to see him get it. You know, we talked about, you know, it's a guy that I think in a lot of ways kind of got an early career unfair shake. Okay, did maybe an immature thing in the locker room and went up to the biggest, toughest guy and said, give me, you know, my effing money or whatever, right? And okay, that got him punched in the face. He got kind of put, you know, in a bad spot publicly, perception-wise, everything, and never got the opportunities and became like, oh, Geno Smith, oh, gosh, oh, he was the Giants, he was the Jets, it wasn't good, and you know, either way, I'm happy for him is what I'm going to say. He deserves some recognition for that story from where he was to what he did this year and what we heard from Tyler Lockett yesterday and all of that. It's pretty awesome. So good for Geno Smith, I will say that.
Brian Daboll, Coach of the Year, the first season with the New York Giants. And Coach of the Year, say this all the time. There's no real formula for it. It's just kind of a loose understanding of what the expectations were for a team going in and where they end up. That's why the best coaches never win it unless they do something ridiculous like undefeated Bill Belichick in 2007. Because we just assume every year their teams are going to be good. We assume they're going to be in the playoffs. When you take a Giants team that felt like it had nothing and didn't have enough of an opportunity to really turn it around, and he takes them to the playoffs in a tough division where you've got the Eagles and the Cowboys, that is what gets Brian Daboll the nod.
I'm happy to see him get it. I mean, I think he is really deserving. I mean, how could he not be? I mean, all the things you said, and then also turned around the career of Daniel Jones, which I think is also part of the reason why he wins this. But yeah, we thought they had no chance to get where they eventually got to. And even when things were good and the record was positive, I mean, the Giants are one of those teams, a little bit like the Vikings, where you're just like, I don't really know how they're doing this. They're not that talented, but it was the coaching. The quarterback whisperer, Brian Daboll, him and Mike Kafka running an offense that was exactly right for what they had, and they didn't try to do too much and risk, you know, losing the game with a dumb play or dumb turnovers. Defense played really good, and it was the same story there. I mean, the hiring of Wink Martindale as D coordinator. It's a bunch of guys that, some good players on that defense, but certainly no superstars. Brian Daboll, very deserving. I wonder how close that one was between him, Doug Peterson. You know,
Shanahan's
another one that I think should have been right up there in the combo. I wonder how close that was. I haven't heard that one.
I came close to making Kyle number one.
Right.
I went Brian Daboll, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McDermott.
Right.
Because I think McDermott did a masterful job dealing with very high expectations that I think were crippling early in the year. It was just too much.
Right.
And they worked through so much adversity, start to finish, culminating in the DeMar Hamlin situation on January 2nd, that I thought McDermott deserved some consideration. But this was a tough year. There were so many
coaches that you could put on that
three-person ballot.
Yeah, agreed. And full transparency, I picked Shanahan first. I went Shanahan, Brian Daboll, Doug Peterson in my voting. That's how I kind of played it out. I just thought Shanahan, with some of the curveballs he was throwing and things like that, you know, and the way they won with a third-string quarterback was just very impressive. But either way, all were deserving. It was really cool to see.
Offensive Rookie of the Year was Garrett Wilson. Defensive Rookie of the Year was Sauce Gardner. That's not a surprise.
Not at all.
Although Aiden Hutchinson, who's going to join us later, isn't that weird? The NFL at some point made its official awards the AP Awards. And they started the honors show like 2011 in Indianapolis.
Right.
I think that was the first year. So the NFL doesn't have an MVP. It's the AP MVP. The NFL doesn't have Offensive Player of the Year. It's the AP. But the NFL has a Global Rookie of the Year.
Right.
And Aiden Hutchinson won it.
Yes.
But the official NFL awards, offensive and defensive, it's Sauce Gardner on defense and Garrett Wilson on offense. There's a weird disconnect.
Weird. Did he get honored last night, Aiden Hutchinson? I didn't watch the whole show.
I don't know if he did or
know.
Didn't, but he, yesterday it was a big deal, and he had the trophy, and Pepsi sponsors it,
right.
But it's the NFL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
So there's a Rookie of the Year.
That's the more prestigious one. It's like MVP or offensive player, defensive
player.
You're
the overall Rookie of the Year, but it's a strange disconnect.
Right.
And of course, it's sponsored, so the NFL's not going to just rip it up and throw it away. So that's just kind of the way it is. The other thing that I liked from last night.
Right.
The rushing title every year
is
named for Jim Brown.
Yes.
Because we've been talking about the upper room to the Hall of Fame. And obviously, the first running back into that upper room would be Jim Brown.
Right.
So, and I hope they do it with other, sacks.
Lawrence Taylor Award or
right.
Reggie
Even
White,
Even though he
whatever.
Didn't have the record or whatever.
Right.
Lawrence Taylor
right.
would be the guy that you name the sacks record for. And, or Reggie White. Well, that's true. Good luck.
Reggie might
Good
have
luck
to go
picking
there.
One. Yeah.
That's a tough one, right. But receiving, Jerry Rice, whatever. Although I'm with you. I mean, we're seeing that happen in other sports,
Different,
right? They're giving the NBA, I think they're giving the MVP award. They're calling it the Michael Jordan Award
now. And if
now.
You really wanted to do it, you could do most passing yards,
you
most
could.
Touchdowns.
Right. The Marino
the
Award.
The Brett Favre Award for the most interceptions.
That's what you want. Right. Yeah. No, so, I mean, I think there is something to that. And I think it's another great way to pay homage
to the
great
stars
of the sport.
If you're not going to have an upper room, you do that.
Yeah.
Start naming stuff for the all-time greats.
Yeah, I like that. So I'm with you there, Mike.
I don't want to get off topic, but I heard Peter talking to Deion Sanders about this yesterday.
Yeah.
And we played some of Sanders' stuff. The idea, what do you do about the guys that played in the 30s, 40s, and 50s? Well, there's a certain point where you say, you know what, football wasn't what it is back then. And it's great to remember those who came before.
Right.
But everything, kind of like in my mind, everything before the Colts-Giants championship game that really caused the NFL to take off,
going global,
that's all prologue.
Big country, right?
And then you get into the 70s when it really took off. Monday Night Football took over baseball. It's the modern era, the Super Bowl era. I think it's fair to go Super Bowl era.
I hear you.
Or at the latest, post-merger. And yes, all those other people had very real value to the sport, but 50 years since the merger, I think that's fair to characterize all-time great. But that's a conversation for the offseason, and we're going to push it. I'm going to keep pressing it to try to get something like that done, because I believe in what Deion's saying 100%.
So while we're on the subject here, and I know we're going to talk about the new addition of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class, right, with some of the names and everything there, is there anybody in this class to you that – is a upper room guy?
Joe Thomas would be the closest.
I would go with Darrell Revis,
yes,
too.
Yes, both of them.
Right.
I mean, Joe Thomas played all those years, all those snaps.
Yep.
Revis, too. Revis and Joe Thomas, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Thomas, I agree with you.
Let me just say this, and I'm not going to name names.
Right.
Is that the full graphic? Is that all 10?
I think that's all of them.
10's
right.
too many. 10's too many.
It's
and
a lot.
That's what Deion was saying in this chair yesterday. There's a quota. There's a minimum number.
Yep.
They want to have guys maximize so you get the most people possible in Canton to go to the parade and go to the game. I get it. It's a business. But there isn't an element of exclusivity.
Yes.
There are too many getting in. They did that thing a couple of years ago where they put in 20 because it was a centennial class.
Right.
No. And if you're going to do that, fine. But have that upper room to truly honor the greats of the greats.
Yeah.
Because it does get diluted.
Really, it does get diluted.
And there's no way. There's no way.
This.
And we were joking about it yesterday with Deion, and I felt bad about it because I don't want to take shots at Phil. I love Phil.
Yeah.
Phil should, and I'm not going to name anyone specific on that list.
Right.
But there are names on there when you look at it and say, if that guy's in, why the hell isn't Phil in?
Sure. I got you. Yeah. And Phil doesn't deserve to be in the upper room. We're okay with that. Big Phil's
just
happy
let
with
me
his
in.
Career.
Let me in general admission.
Well, sure.
I don't need a suite.
Definitely. But yeah, I think this is something that Deion is, fan the flames a little bit. I do think this is going to become a real conversation with the Hall of Fame a little bit. I'm excited just off this, Mike, just a little ex-teammate of mine, Rondae Barber.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to see him get the recognition. He was certainly one of the best defensive players I ever played with, physically, mentally, whatever it is. And this is where I want people to understand this about Rondae Barber. The modern-day NFL and the way defenses are playing now, Rondae Barber is kind of the jump-off there.
a nickel safety weight. He can tackle. He can cover. We don't play base defense. So that's where not only was Rondé Barber an awesome football player, he kind of invented a new position in football that's a real thing, and I think people need to recognize that. Darrell Revis is the second best man-to-man cover corner I ever saw in my life other than Deion Sanders, right? Every bit in the class with the Champ Baileys and the Daryl Greens and all of that, really special. And I was also happy to see Zach Thomas, who I always thought was a Hall of Famer, Mike. I didn't know if he'd get in. I didn't ever thought he was a first ballot. But, Mike, he was one of those guys I got to play a few times in my life. And like Ray Lewis, not only was he awesome, but he would call plays out, right? And then you'd be like, oh, my gosh, I mean, poor running back. He knows the play. And I'm about to say Set Hutt, and Zach Thomas is going to be there waiting for him. And I got tremendous respect for him, so I was really happy to see him get
in. Yeah, he had tried, and he had tried, and he tried, and he got in. And some guys have to wait. And you know what? I know that the guys who have been frustrated by the wait, all except for Terrell Owens. And he shouldn't have had to wait.
No,
he had every right to be upset.
Right.
Most guys who have to wait, when they finally get in, it's like all is well, all is forgiven, all is fine.
Right.
But I thought Terrell Owens got caught up in the politics of it. You know, look, we're members of the media, and people would assume that we'll just say, well, the media should vote on this. I don't know that the media should have exclusive rights to it. I know some of the players have been involved recently, but I definitely agree with Deion's take that to determine the upper room, it should be players and players only. He said, the media, you've done your job on letting them in.
Right.
We'll be the ones who decides who gets to the upper room.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I got no problem with that. You know, as long as we pick the, you know, I just want to make sure there's guys even in that upper room that are picking guys. You know, those guys are really paying attention to the sport and know, too.
And that they know who the best are. They talk to each other. They're impressed by certain things.
We know they're all in on football.
And that's what we were saying yesterday. They don't want their achievements, their names, their legacies to be undermined by letting someone in who shouldn't be in.
Yeah, no, agreed.
In this weekend's games, who are the people that you think would eventually be upper room? Ooh. We know of one.
Well, two. We know Mahomes.
Maybe two.
Mahomes and Kelsey right off the bat, right? And I think those are two you look at right away. You know, Lane Johnson might be on that career path here.
He's got a chance.
Right? He might be.
Chris Jones has a chance.
Chris Jones is another one that certainly has a chance. I think those are the four guys right off the top of my head where I just go, yeah, wow. Like Fletcher Cox to me is a Hall of Fame defensive tackle. I don't know if it's upper room, but he's definitely a Hall of Fame defensive tackle for me.
I'm fascinated by what DeVonta Smith could do if he was fully utilized. I just feel like he gets caught up in a numbers game and they have A.J. Brown.
Yeah, they can run the ball.
He makes some spectacular plays. I don't know that he'd have the durability
because
we interviewed him last year when he was available to be here.
Right.
He wasn't a
big
guy.
Yeah, he's skinny. Right. Yeah.
So, but I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Mahomes, Kelsey, Reed. I mean, are we letting coaches in the upper room?
You're right. Andy Reid, especially if he wins this one, he's in the upper room. I mean, he's probably in the upper room already.
Who are the coaches that would be in the upper room? George Halas, Don Shula, Bill Belichick. Who else? Tom Landry?
Definitely Tom Landry.
Chuck Knoll?
Chuck Knoll for sure. Right?
Bill Walsh. I want to say Bud Grant, but I think he's standing at the doorway.
I would argue Parcells and even a Mike Shanahan. That's what I would argue.
Shanahan's not even in yet.
I know, but Shanahan with the two Super Bowls and all the 94 offensive coordinator for the 49ers, right? He'd throw in there. Yeah, Parcells I would definitely throw in there. Madden.
John Madden.
Right.
That's an overall upper room.
Right.
Not for coaching.
Well, that should be the section
for
the coach.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah, right.
He should be the guy who sits on top of Mount Olympus.
Right.
He's Zeus.
It should be the Madden coaching
fame.
Upper room. And that's what it should almost be.
Yeah, Vince
something
Lombardi,
like that.
Too. We didn't mention
yeah,
him.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there's a few more.
And, you know, we got a guest coming up who,
he's trying to get there.
Depending upon what he does in Denver,
right,
he wants to get another ring to balance out. You'll see, because we taped it earlier. We're not like, you know, prescient or anything like that. You'll see the Super Bowl ring on the left hand. He wants a Super Bowl ring on the right hand. And you'll hear some great stuff, including a great story. A story I've wanted to tell for years.
You got
know
the green
about
light.
It. People on the inside know about it. One of the best things in the barn. If you've seen the video of the PFT barn, you may have just seen it in passing. I'm going to do a video next week where I really focus in on it because now the secret's out. The best thing in the barn. You're going to hear that as part of the story. When Sean Payton, the new coach of the Denver Broncos, joins us here in Phoenix.
Super Bowl!
Right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
I think just trying to have an open mind to the direction we're going, but a clear vision as to where. Open mind, clear. And then there's a little bit of old school mixed in with the new school. And so I'm not the 31-year-old coach who's got all these. There's something I have in the back of my mind relative to how I think we need to be successful that never changes. And those are things that I look forward to putting in place.
That was Monday. This is Friday. Here he is, the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. It's going to be hard to get used to that. I typed the other night, Saints coach Sean Payton. That's what feels normal.
I just did a radio clip where, you know, he was like, hi, my name's Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos. Anyway, yeah, looking, I'm close with Bill Parcells. And so Bill had smaller stints at a number of places and was fabulous wherever he went. And in this case, 16 years is quite a long time in our league for one team.
Right, it is.
And 16 good years.
Well, I know it had to be hard for you to walk away, but was it harder to walk away or harder to pick the next destination?
I think harder to walk away. I think I knew it was the right decision. I knew I needed a break. And you start paying attention to things like your health, and you know, people would say all the time, well, you got to look at your schedule. You got to look at the, there was just a way that I'm used to doing things, and it requires this for me. It's not for everyone. And so I felt like it was a good time, and it had nothing to do with, well, we no longer have Breeze. I mean, that year was a year and a half before, you know, we played other quarterbacks. It was just time, and I knew I was interested in doing the network stuff. But what's funny is when that begins and you wake up the next day, you're not in that, like, that race that exists, right? You know, you actually leave the racetrack. And
right.
So for the next year, there's this two-mile racetrack with lights on. You can smell the gasoline. You can hear the cars. And they're all going. And, you know, you're still drawn to it, but there's, like, this – it's different. There's not that same sense of urgency. You're spending more time golfing. You're doing these other things.
Right.
I struggle without the itinerary, really. Like, we're so institutionalized with schedule.
Right. You're and, like, I have free time? What do
yeah,
I do with
and
this?
Then I'm not good. And then pretty soon my wife looks at me like, we're not going to do this for the next 300 days, are we? Like, right. This isn't the current plan, right?
Right.
And so...
So when does it hit? Like, when did it hit where you were like, I'm itching and, okay, yeah, I got to get back in that race?
Throughout the season, you know, working Sundays was great. I would say this, that group.
Howie and
man,
Jimmy.
Man, and both groups, I worked with both shows, but the camaraderie and the culture that existed there. We had a dinner last night. They're doing. We do the Super Bowl. This is my last week. I'm working,
right.
You know, with the Super Bowl and they've got that figured out. Like, I see the things that are important with Eric Shanks and Bill and, you know, the producers and then everyone involved in that production is special. But I think I was only getting it Sunday. It was just Sunday, man. My clothes were laid out Saturday.
Yeah,
I couldn't
yeah.
wait to be there 5 a.m.
Right.
And I'd stay till like the last one in the building. And you got your football fix in the green room. But I think this, you can have your perfect Sunday, your narrative hits, you know, it might be we're talking about the defense, the score fits.
Right.
Everything you hit on.
Everything kinda, I said, it came to fruition.
You get in your car and you drive home.
Right.
And it still doesn't replace the feeling of that racetrack when you win.
I know.
And so ultimately it's like, I want to go back. And so, all right, here it is. The first morning after you take that job, you're back on this. Like, all right, everyone else is, 31 other teams are going. I've got to go. And there's a completely different sense of urgency then to your day.
Right.
And it everyone else is going now. And so, man, we got to hire a staff. We got to do all these things. We're a little bit behind. We've got to, and so, I think the biggest motivating factor for any of us and all of us is fear of failure. Like that's pretty powerful.
I hear you. It gets me up every day.
Right?
Right.
How are you juggling it now though? Because you're 4 days in, but you've still got to take care of business at Fox.
Yeah, that was easy. And we talked about that. I first talked with Eric at Fox. I said, hey, I want to make sure, I don't assume that you want me, but maybe you feel like he said, no, absolutely. He said, this year, the fans have been able to get a deeper insight as to, they'd ask me on air, what do you think? And I'd tell them, this is what I think is important. I might do this. And I'm basically in a hotel room here somewhere in Scottsdale with a laptop. My wife is my assistant because I can accept a Zoom meeting. I have no idea how to initiate one. Right? I mean, seriously. Yeah.
You know how to send the email out to everybody and do all that. Again.
I had a bad – yesterday was a Ronald Curry and I were scheduled for this Zoom, and it was 20 minutes delayed. Pretty soon he invited me because she was the only one. She wasn't in the room.
Oh, right.
So a lot of Zoom interviews, coaching staff interviews, all of that, and then – What are the, you know, Fox meetings? And so it works easily.
It's
right
like
now.
Regular season, or maybe not even quite as intense. And that's one thing I wanted to bring up to you. I've been carrying this around for years. And we first got to know each other in the aftermath of a certain league matter a decade or so ago that you and I think were the only two in the country that were on the same page about that thing. And that's how we kind of got talking. We've interviewed you many times over the years.
I was on the page, too. I just wasn't with you guys to know about it.
Right, right. Okay, so good. Yeah, he was still playing or coaching. You were in New England,
right.
So you can relate. But anyway, the idea of detail. And we've been talking about this, and we've been singing your praises. I don't know if your ears have been burning, but through this whole process, how you pay attention to detail and how all the time that's spent watching film, just grinding and grinding it. And we were having a conversation on the phone during the 2018 season, and I made that comment to you. I love the fact that you have as much time as you want to spend, as long as you're willing to go without sleep and food and anything else, just looking and searching for any little idea that can make a difference. And something happened after that I have a memento in my barn that is the only priceless thing in there that can't be replaced. I want you to tell that story.
All right, so here's the thing, and I'm going to use a couple quick analogies first. If you get a chance ever to golf at Augusta, that's one of those, or go to Disney.
Right.
When you listen to them talk about the experience, they look at the player experience, the media experience, the fan experience, the sponsor experience, the caddy experience, and then they go about saying, how do we make those six groups, how do we make those experiences better than, and they think all the time. It's a constant, all right, you're an attorney. You have a law degree. And let's say the big day is Friday. Man, we are constantly looking at, are we missing anything? Because here's why. We can reference 3 years ago when we found something on Wednesday that helped make a difference in what we were doing. And so when that happens to you as a coach, when you put your plan together, and we're not talking about it never – but I don't like the saying the hay is in the barn. Yeah. It's never in the barn.
Never. There's more, until always we something start. More. Yeah.
So you're looking. And
right.
Look, we played the Colts 1 year, and we had a fake field goal in. I really didn't like how we were blocking it. We made a change Saturday morning. The only problem is it had to be on the right hash. And I thought, well, it has to be on the right hash. And we had like a 3rd and 7, you know, on the 28-yard line, 26-yard line. I remember beeping into Bree saying, look, you're going to hate me for this call. Just trust me. And we ran a toss play on 3rd and 6. And it put it on the right hash. And Bree's looking at me. I'm like, get ready. You're going back out there. We're running this fake field goal. And we ran the fake field goal. So, but when you notice something later in the week, you apply it in your game, and then you like that field goal was important because it led to a touchdown. And you know what? We won by 6 points in that game.
Yeah, right.
So then there's a certain amount of pressure then to, like, am I missing anything? And so Mike's story was pretty funny. It was later in the week, and we were playing the Vikings Sunday Night Football. I remember it well. We're going to win this game, and it's earlier in the season, and late in the week, and it wasn't in, you know, it wasn't, Chris, in the cut-ups that we had. It wasn't in the recent season that we had.
Right.
It was like
last year. Let me go see them.
We're going back a year. Right. We're watching the Patriots run this play. It was pretty clever. It was an empty set, short motion, turbo motion, catch, flip. It's one of your perfect plays for the quarterback because it counts as a forward pass.
Yeah, right. Great quarterback rating.
Yeah. And if it's dropped, it's not fumbled. It's incomplete. And I remember seeing it, and they ran it as a two-point play. They were running it against a different team, not the Vikings.
Right, it was the Bears.
Right. It was the Bears. And so we're just studying a scheme, and I'm like, well, there's some similarities to what we're seeing here. And so we put that in on a Saturday morning as an additional five yards in play. You know, I always love when we discuss analytics, and there's only two things we talk about: go for it on fourth down or two-point plays. And it's crazy. There's like 100 other things
that go into that.
Yeah, analytics, right. Though. There's 100 other analytic examples. And so, sure enough, in that game. And so what I did was I drew the play, put it in an envelope, and I sent it to him. And I said, "This, just remember I sent this to you."
Right.
Now, I'm forgetting Mike's in a cabin in West Virginia. He's on East Coast time, right? And so Sunday Night Football, it gets a little past his bedtime. And here it is, the first drive, though.
Right.
And we get to a third and three at the three.
Right.
And here's the other thing. When you come up with something that you like and have a conviction for it, like, you're opening that present.
Yeah.
And so we talk about two-point plays. Like, when would I ever – let's say that's a two-point play also – but, well, if that's my favorite play inside the three, I'm going to score six with it.
Yeah, forget the 2 points.
Forget the two, right?
Right, right.
So it's not like we always have a surplus of two-point plays. Sometimes we utilize a few of them. And so, boom, catch, snap, tuck. Here goes Kamara, touchdown, well blocked. And I'm fired up, but I'm also fired up because I'm like, I called this. I guarantee you Florio saw it.
No, I saw it live. It was when you called me at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. I called,
and I was asleep in a hotel room in Connecticut because we've been working all day at NBC. And I pick up my phone and it says Sean Payton. I said, son of, well, I guess he used the play.
So I remember drawing it. And so when you draw a lot, your font's good. You can, you know, your circles are good.
And good coaches
and
are so amazing.
I love that it still sits somewhere.
It's in plastic. It's the centerpiece on a ledge in my barn, and it's always a conversation point when somebody new comes.
Just a little bit.
I've never talked about it publicly.
It's the little things that matter, and so
it's great proof of that.
Well, one quick, just off of that, like, when was it during the week that you found you had your best ideas? Like, Gruden was early in the morning in peace and quiet. I had coaches a beer late at night. They'd come up with crazy ideas.
Mine always look. This was me, and right, wrong, or it just was me. Man, Mondays are chaos for the head coach and the team, because you're looking
at
the game film. You got
game.
Oh, two more guys that are hurt that you weren't really sure were hurt. You're bringing in guys for workouts. Mondays, the sky's falling, regardless of if you won or lost. Monday, and then Tuesday, you're on the plan. For me, Wednesdays, Thursdays, evenings, late.
That's when you got to, like, would you sit around with other coaches, or were you by yourself?
It'd come out of the coaching meeting.
Right.
Let's say that ended at midnight. And then I'd go into my office and then put the film on. I'd burn a few candles and then just start. And then so later in the week for me, it was just.
So it's relaxed, quiet time at nighttime when all of a sudden
week,
you start to go, this is, yeah.
But this one in specific, we were on the phone, and I was saying, I do love the fact that you have as much time as you want to spend to look for whatever.
That's
you said,
right.
You're making me nervous. I got to go. And then 10 minutes later, you call back and said, I found something that's going to work.
Right.
And that's where it all came from.
Right. And here's the thing. Everything's efficiency, right? You don't want to have to go far to get a cup of ice, or, you know, my problem is I like drinking regular soda, Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew.
I like it. Get him. He's on this diet crap all the time. Get him off of it.
It could be orange soda, grape soda. And so, you know, the candle's burning, a cup of a can of Coke on ice. And then you've got just time and you're looking at it. And so, look, the restroom's right around the corner. There's everything is near you. And because, once again, I'm going back to the attorneys a week away. They know that they've had late in the week opportunities to find something that matter. And so that weighs on you until you get to the event and because you know it matters.
Right, right.
Russell Wilson, your quarterback now, what's the number one thing you're looking forward to working on him about?
Well, I would say this. First off, when you finish 5-12 and there's dirt on a lot of people's hands, and we focus a lot on the quarterback and the head coach, certainly. But I think there are a few things. We have to improve the run game. That has to be – the special teams were awful. So I'm going to hit on these other things and then get back to Russell. The two greatest allies for good quarterback play are good defense and a run game.
Yeah.
How do we take the quarterback off the high dive? If he's up there too often, it's going to be hard to produce. He's going to have to climb up there 6-8 times a game.
Right.
You know, he's going to be 3rd-and-8 in a must-have it, you know, and then 2-minute drill. He's going to be goal to go on a 5, you know.
But you don't want to live up there.
No, we don't want to live up there.
That's
no
right.
one does.
Right.
Not even with the
greatest
guys.
Mahomes.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So, then secondly, what are the things that I think we think he does well? And I think they struggled finding those last year. I'll be honest. I said it on air, and I'm not trying to upset anyone. But our jobs are to figure out what these guys do well and then have them do that. And so I don't like singing, but if I go to a karaoke bar, I want to at least know the words to a song and not try to do something outside my box. So
why don't more coaches do that, though? Because that's good coaching, but it seems like people are stuck to their system and they won't deviate from it.
Look, it's a good question. Those are things you learn from guys like Parcells. You know, so not everyone has the same bloodlines.
Right.
But defensively, if we just play our defense, well, what if this tight end for the Chiefs? All right, Belichick. We played Belichick. Jimmy Graham was rolling 1 year. It was fantastic. It was 2013.
Right.
We were 5-0. We had just beaten the Bears. We're going to New England. We know it's going to be a tough game.
Right.
And I'm telling you, he put a keep Tlaib on Graham on every play. And then he took his outside backer to that side and turned and reroute. And so Jimmy Graham had more attention on him. And I know what Bill was thinking. If I can eliminate that option, because there was so much production coming from that player. And so are you willing to do that defensively, or are you just going to play your under and over fronts and play your coverage and then just
die slowly?
Yeah. So the ability on defense to take a player out of the game, there's some defensive coaches in this league that can do it, and there are others that refuse to try. They'll throw the ball on scout team to this guy, and they'll say, this is what we got to do within our – but there's certain things coverage-wise that some guys just aren't familiar with, and so it's – the answer to your question, I'm not familiar with it, so I don't want to talk, discuss, or install it. And generally, that's a lack of experience.
What about your year off? Just anything that you're going to change to yourself, like where you self-scout thyself a little bit, where you go, you know,
that's a good question. I think the longer you do this, the wiser you get, and you become smart with your battery life. You know, my son's real good at video games, and, you know, you're always looking at the battery life.
Yeah.
And so when I first started in 06, you know, I burned battery life sometimes on things that I realize now that it's not as important.
Right.
Yeah, it's not as important.
Right.
So that's one thing. And then, you know, try to get a half hour sweat in 3 times a week. Just clear the brain.
Just
so you don't die in the office one day with a clicker in your hand and a great idea.
Although, where would you rather die? I mean, really. If you're going to go, that's the place to go.
You just want to make sure the play's drawn out, because it's like that movie Waking Ned Devine, who won the lottery in Ireland, and he was the old man and the lazy boy, and the lottery hit it was like five million pounds.
Right.
It was on the TV screen. He won, and he passed away with the lottery ticket in his hand.
Right, of course.
So there was a rule, evidently, if the winner was deceased, it went back into the next week's. So this little town, his two buddies found the lottery ticket, and they said, we're not going to turn it. So then it was like Waking Ned Devine, that gradually the secret – expanded to 28 residents of the town.
Right.
We're going to collect this money and pretend he was alive still.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Zebra Technologies, collecting a little money from them as you do every year, spreading the word about what they do, what's going on.
It's simple. So I don't think a lot of people know this, but for 9 years they've been with the NFL. They just extended an agreement on Wednesday. They're the player tracking system. But let's go back. Every day we go to the store, we swipe our groceries. That barcode is Zebra. That's what they do.
Right.
They're in Walmart. They're in, you name it. They're in every grocery store. Anytime someone's scanning something and giving you a price. So they've begun to put that in the shoulder pads. They started primarily for in-game production content value. How fast is this guy going? 21 miles an hour. My son. So this next-gen stats is Zebra. I began looking at it more for soft tissue injuries. So I can look at data, basically at practice. I can see how far guys are moving.
Right.
If I say I want to reduce a practice, I could say in the old days you'd cut out the time, but you still don't have a tangible way to measure, you know, receivers 6 miles on an average two-a-day practice.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks at 8 miles. Why is that?
Right.
Well, he's doing these other things.
He's doing the post routes and some of the...
But all of a sudden, he's got a hamstring issue. So it's being a little bit more exact.
Right.
The chip's in the football now. You know, does it cross the goal line or not? I know this drives you guys crazy.
Oh, come on.
But think about this for a second. Right. When you shoot an NBA jump shot, and it comes off of your hand, and you see the shot clock light the back of the backboard up, you can tell if it's been shot or not.
Yes.
We can do the very same thing. Just envision a goalpost light that goes off.
Please.
When the ball... And then all I have to do as an official is just look at the knee.
Right.
But now I got to look at where's the ball, where's the knee, where's the ball.
Yeah.
So if I can remove the ball element and see where the knee is, all this stuff, it's 2023.
Yes.
And we're betting on these games.
I know. Well, trust me.
We beat it
to death.
All over it all the time. To the point where they tell us to shut up.
Yeah. You ready? That's all right. We're not worried about that. In the Eagles playoff game, a chain broke. They brought the backup chain out. But it was tangled. Every one of us watching said, oh, we've been there.
Right.
Like our phone chargers tangled.
Right.
Because you know what we knew? We knew it was going to take 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, but it's all for that drama. Of pulling that stick.
I get it.
You got to pull that stick.
I get it. So I want to come up with the chain that can't tangle.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Like, the hose that can't tangle?
Right.
Like,
they should be able to do that. You're right. We got enough money in the league. I think we can
make
go
all day. One last thing, though. I keep seeing that ring hit. You're out of balance, though.
Boom. It's the only week.
I know, but you need another one.
Oh, we definitely need to.
Did you know that there's no coach who's won a Super Bowl with two different teams? Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that. That's the plan, Mike.
Man, it's a beauty. I really love this ring. You guys did a great job with this one.
The Florida Lee has been on jewelry long before Super Bowl rings.
Right.
And then when Mrs. Benson's involved and it's Tiffany.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's a win. That's a win-win there.
She's the best.
Right. Does it feel like it's been 13 years?
No, it feels like it's probably been 7 or 8. But it feels long enough away where – here's the one thing about this game. And – we got close, you know, we had the championship game with the no call and everything. But on that staff was Mike Westhoff and a bunch of other players. And as we get older, you enjoy giving gifts more than receiving. You know what I mean? Like, you ever have a surprise, you can't wait.
I'm at that age, first time in my life.
You're fired
I can't
up.
Wait to give my family
where
and kids.
Where do you see this?
Right.
Where do you see this?
Right.
Or where do you eat at this restaurant? Or where do you watch this movie? And so that lead-in to the Super Bowl is like, you guys will never believe what this game, whatever you think it's like, it's 100,000 times better.
Yeah.
And so part of that exists. Like yourself, you know it, but to show others, like, and watch their reaction, like what I tell you.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to remember the first 5 minutes of this game at all.
Right. You're going to be like, hyperventilating.
Bill said, hey, make sure you're calling just base stuff because they're not going to know anything for 5 minutes.
Right.
And so that's the kind of thing that you look forward to, you know, kind of sharing.
Yeah, sharing that, seeing them get that experience.
Well, it's awesome. Thanks to Zebra Technologies for giving us Sean Payton today, with also the unexpected plug for Waking Ned Divine, which...
Man, he's killing
not available
today.
In theaters, but I'm sure you can find it streaming somewhere.
If you choose to watch it, I would suggest subtitles.
Yeah, like, it's hard to get that accent. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
All right, all the best to you. It's great to have you back in the game. Great to have you back in the league. And we wish you all the best with the Denver Broncos.
Appreciate you guys.
Sean Payton, back with more right after this.
With the number 2 pick in the draft, we got a freaking football playing dude now. Ah!
He's high motor and he's versatile as hell.
Hutchinson said, I'll take that. Intercepted by the Lions. The rookie out of Michigan comes up with a play.
There he is. You know, they gave out the Offensive Rookie of the Year last night and the Defensive Rookie of the Year, but this guy earlier in the day just won Rookie of the Year. That's even better.
Yeah,
it's all the rookies we'll in one pot. Yeah. He's Aiden Hutchinson,
you're
the Detroit
right
Lions.
You better.
Yes, hell yeah.
I remember meeting with you last year when, you know, it looked like it was set up for the Lions.
Right.
If the Jags pass.
Right.
And yeah, I know, hoping deep down that's how it went. But it just felt like it was meant to be.
Oh, yeah.
That you'd be a Lion, and it feels like you're going to be a Lion forever.
Yeah, it was also storybook, man. Now I'm living 10 minutes away from my parents' house and taking the same expressway I took to high school. It's just,
that's
honestly ridiculous. The whole thing is wild.
Right. And that's a positive, right? You love that, right?
I love it.
Some people, I think, would be like, man, I didn't want to be back in my hometown.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, you can vacation in the offseason. You can get out a little bit. But, you know, when I go to work and stuff, I'm home.
Right. All right. So, great year, like Mike said. First thing is just like, what NFL football, what was the biggest shock? I mean, I know you, Michigan, Big Ten, awesome, but what was that moment, you know, after you sang Billie Jean and did all that in training camp, where you were just like, wow, the NFL game's different?
You know, I just think there's no real drop-off in talent, you know, from game to game compared to college,
you know? Yeah.
I mean, in the NFL, there's some elite offensive linemen, but for the most part, it's like a very steady line across all teams.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest difference for me between NFL and college is just, dude, week by week, you got to be ready physically, mentally, but like there's no...
College, you had a few games where you're like, I'm going
to
get something today. I'm going to get a few sacks today.
Yeah, there's a big disparity between teams. So you got to be fighting every week and you got to be ready.
Yeah.
The last game of the season. And, you know, they say in the NFL only one team is ever happy, the team that wins the Super Bowl. But you guys... It felt like a bowl game.
It did.
You get selected to play in the last game of the regular season. You know going in that you're not going to get to the playoffs even if you win. But still, there had to be something special about going into Lambeau Field, knocking them out, and being able to walk off the field last game of the season as winners.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was taking away from it. You know, if we did make it to the playoffs and you don't win the Super Bowl, you're going to end the season on a loss. So, you know, I took it as a positive, took it as, hey, we stopped Aaron Rodgers from making it. We won. The Lions fans showed up after that game.
That was amazing.
After
amazing
that game
there.
Was so awesome.
Right.
Dude, it was ridiculous. And that's – I just love our fans, man. And so that whole game, man, it was a great way to go out for my rookie year.
Rookie year, like you go from Jim Harbaugh, to Dan Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, tell us, like, the first experience, Dan Campbell, were you like, what the hell? What is this? Was it a shock? I mean, his personality is infectious,
I think,
it seems.
I think it's what he showed on Hard Knocks when he was talking about just when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's a freight train coming your way. That's Dan Campbell right there. That's him, and that's what he does, man. And that's who he is.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It's intense.
He is. Well, whatever you see, interviews, anything like that. That's who he is. Hell yeah.
What was the spark when it was 1-6, and it just felt like it was going to be another same old Lions season? What caused it to flip?
I think, you know, we came together as a defense, and we really got accountable for each other, and that's something that's not easy to do. Not necessarily calling guys out, but every guy saying what they think they're responsible for and what they got to get better at and stuff like that. And just hearing your teammates say that, you know, it's something kind of vulnerable, and it's something that I think it propelled us.
So was it like a team meeting? Did you have
defensive meeting?
Yeah. Who took charge?
Some of the captains did. Some of the captains got up, but I mean, at the end of the day, it was a majority of the guys talking.
Yeah. All right. So for you personally. You know, rookie year, great. What's second year where you're like, okay, I got to hone in on this.
Yeah.
I got to get a little bit better. What is the element you're looking at? You got to improve.
Yeah, man. Obviously I'm looking all around the board. But,
I know you are.
I'm licking my chops already at year two.
Yeah.
I can't wait, man. I think.
More pass rush moves? You're trying to get more powerful?
I think
what
is? I think I got a pretty good pass rush plan.
Yeah.
I don't need more moves. You don't need that many moves.
You're right.
But it's more perfecting what you have.
Gotcha.
And obviously, getting faster, stronger, all those little things. But and also focusing on the mental side of the game, the visualizing, the meditating, especially in the offseason.
Okay. Did the grind of the year get to you a little bit as like a rookie? Was that a tough thing? You know, I know my rookie year, I was like, holy crap, we still got five games left, right?
To be honest with you, it didn't hit me too hard. Because for me, when I was sitting there, I was so, every week I was so motivated to just produce and keep getting better. And so I was so just fired up every week.
Right.
And I know that might sound a little cliche.
I got you, but you just, every day you went after it.
But like, you know, when you, if you get a sack in a game, you're like, I want to do that every week. Yeah. You know, I want to keep doing that. So I was so motivated by that. But when I was watching the playoffs, especially, I was like, dude, these are long. Like, you play, you make it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's a lot of football
now. Yeah,
it is. It's a lot of football.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
How do you deal with any frustrations you had to be feeling when, and there are two dynamics for pass rushers. You get held all the time.
Yeah.
And it feels like the tackles, we watch all the games, it feels like they get off just enough, just a half second before their pass block set.
They never called.
What's going on with that, right?
It's one of those things in the NFL that's kind of just a thing. And in college, they'll pull the flag every time.
Right.
But in the NFL, if I get a little half-second jump, that flag's flying.
Definitely.
But if they get a half-second jump, it's, well, same with the quarterbacks. If the delay a game, as long as they don't see it hit zero, it's not delay a game. So, you know, the NFL is made for the offense.
It is. You say that to the refs during the game, though? Like, do you bring it up to them?
I don't even fight.
You give up on it.
There's no point.
You can slam your helmet to the ground, and then your coach can pick it up and give it to you. You can slam your helmet to the ground again, Joey Bosa. But that's the, and, you know, others have said, Max Crosby said it, you just have to deal with it because that's just the way it is. It seems like that's the attitude you have.
I was watching it, and I felt that same feeling. You know, you feel he was trying these spin moves, you know, wide hands. He was wrapped around him. But, dude, they're never going to – I mean, 90% of those, when you're going inside, they will never call those. They only call the ones when you're reaching outside and you're
sometimes not then.
Blatant you got to be very blatant and sell it in order to even get it.
Who's the toughest guy you faced this year?
Yeah. Let's hear it. Who's the guy that shocked you? You're like, whoa.
I mean, week one, we played Philly week one, and that offensive line was, like, arguably the best in the league. And even in camp, I played against our offensive line the whole camp. So I had a really good start to my year. So I think I'd say maybe Lane. I want to play Lane again. That was week one. I didn't really know.
He's the master of the early departure from the line of scrimmage.
I know, no doubt. Oh, yeah, he's real good at that. So, but I definitely am looking forward to playing Lane again.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I wanted to ask you, like, the best team you played all year. I know they were early on in the year, but I guess that would be the best team you played, too.
I'd say, all around, man. They're so talented.
Were you shocked by the size of their offensive line? Like, was that a shock to you a little bit? Like, Malata?
I wouldn't say the size. I would just say, you just look all around. You look at that whole offensive line.
There's no weak spot.
There's no weakness, essentially. You know?
Right.
I mean, they have, what, three or four Pro Bowl guys?
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
How many interceptions you have this year?
Three.
You intercepted Aaron Rodgers in the end zone. I hope you kept that ball.
Of course.
Where is it?
I kept all my interceptions. It's right in my little case in my living room.
We saw Penei Sewell make the catch against the Vikings to ice the game. Are you doing any lobbying for a little tight end,
I'm all
coach?
For it now. I got some hands.
I've shown I can
you
catch.
Do have some hands,
I got some
man.
Hands now. So, you know, maybe my MVP year in a few years when it's coming up, I'll get some touchdown receptions.
That's how you win MVP as a defensive player. That's the J.J. Watt model. I mean, he didn't win it, but that was the year he was a real candidate.
Yeah.
He was playing some tight ends.
Is there anybody you watch during the year as far as players, like where you go, let me see what they're doing pass rush-wise? Like, is there anybody that you study as the season goes on to steal anything from? Or is it just kind of happen naturally through watching film?
I wouldn't say any moves because there's only so many moves you can do as a pass rusher. It's more instinctually watching them and seeing how they get out. It's more like the little things, like, you know, maybe how their stance is, maybe how they're lean this way. But, I mean, even the amount of film you watch.
You see enough of
so many guys. I just take little things like, if he's doing that to this, I might try that to that. Then,
right.
You know, so it's kind of like that.
Right.
It's not necessarily taking moves. It's more helping my instincts a little bit.
Yeah. What about – go ahead.
Are you a get Aaron Rodgers out of the division guy, or are you a, hey, we swept him last year, bring it on again guy?
I'm a whatever guy.
He don't care.
If Aaron wants to stay, he can stay. If he wants to leave, c'est la vie, you know?
I love it. All right, so, I mean, we know you can rush the passer, but what do you got? What are you selling today? Let's see what you can do in this department.
Yeah, so I'm here on behalf of Courtyard by Marriott and the official hotel of the NFL, and they are showcasing the Courtyard Sleepover Super Bowl Suite in the stadium, and one lucky fan gets to sleep in the stadium, in the suite, wake up on Super Bowl Sunday,
damn,
and be the first ones in the stadium.
Wow. They're
overlooking the whole thing, so it's a great deal.
That is a great deal. Yeah. Damn, yeah. I should have signed up for that one.
I know, me too.
You know?
Me too, it was pretty dope.
All right, last one on the way out. Other than offensive linemen and defensive linemen, right?
Yeah.
Tell me a guy like, you know, carrying the ball, receiver, running back, where you were just like, whoa. And here's your schedule if you want to look at it, where you were like, that guy was the truth, or I had no idea.
Let me see.
I always love to hear that kind of thing from a guy like you. I know you got good perspective.
You know who was a sneaky one for me?
Yeah,
I missed like two tackles on in the Bears game
right.
was David Montgomery.
Oh, that
he's,
power,
he's
those
one
legs,
of those guys.
Right?
He's so small.
And then he's got the quick.
And like, I go to wrap him up, and he's just kind of like, he's so small, and he's like a little bowling ball,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I missed a couple tackles on him. So I'd say
I got to get back in it. He shocked you a little bit.
Yeah.
Aiden, I remember meeting with you last year. It was early in the week for us, and we both were really impressed. You had a ton of confidence. You were going to come in and tear it up, and you did. We're watching you. It's been great so far, and we have a feeling that the ceiling is unlimited. So we wish you all the best. Congratulations. The NFL Rookie of the Year. Not offense, not defense.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Just rookie of the Year.
Future tight end of the Detroit Lions. Future MVP candidate, Aiden Hutchinson.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for
thanks,
some
guys.
Of your time.
Appreciate it.
We'll be back with more right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.